Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see things from a very different perspective. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com. And remember, I spell Kevin like the number 7. Be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Weekly Wisdom. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now, on to the KevCast. Hi, everybody, and thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I am Kevin Winder, and I am broadcasting to you today from the beautiful and awesome city of Chicago. And my voice is completely trashed, so it's a little rough, it's a little groggy, it's maybe a little deeper sounding in the radio, and that is because I have been, for the last 3 days, I have been at the ASCO conference here in Chicago. What is the ASCO conference? The ASCO conference is the American Society of Clinical Oncology. And what I'm going to talk to you today about is cancer. That's right. I'm going to teach you a little bit about cancer, but we're also going to talk about other tiny things that are also huge. So cancer and tiny things that are also huge. Like I say, I'm at the American Society of Clinical Oncology here in cancer, and I want to start off by saying that cancer absolutely sucks. I hate cancer. I hate it in all forms. I am working in the industry to try and change it. I am a partner with many, many, many people. The ASCO conference has to be held here in Chicago because this has the McCormick Center, which is one of the nation's largest convention centers. So as you know, I live in a town called Castle Rock, Colorado, and there is probably 50 to 60,000 people who live there. The McCormick Center for the ASCO conference hosts over 30,000. So we're talking between 30 and 40,000 people attend this conference. It's literally like moving a city into a building downtown. This clogs the airports. It makes everything crazy. But you can imagine the convention room floor. It is literally like a city with different vendors and companies and organizations that are all gathered together to fight cancer, to offer their treatments and solutions and ideas, to get great minds and world thinkers on the subject of cancer together, to hear lectures and information, and to do all that we can do to fight cancer. Now, you probably know somebody who's been affected with cancer. You yourself may have struggled with the disease yourself. But what is cancer? If you're not familiar with what cancer is, it is a genetic disease. Now, genetic disease means that it came in your genes. It's always a normal cell. It's not like a banana bruise that you got some rotten stuff and somehow these rotten cells are now in your body. It's like a, you know, something happened to some fruit. What this is are normal cells that are dividing, but when they're dividing, they're making mistakes and producing problems. Now, because I say it's genetic, some people instantly think, well, that means you inherit cancer. While that is true and it is possible, only about 6 to 10% of cancer is actually inherited, but all cancer is genetic. So you kind of need to understand that a little bit. And there's also familial components that kind of go into that, which means we all ate the same Aunt Edna's banana pudding. We all lived next to the power lines. We all drank the same water in our family. And so the group of family who all did the same things also got similar cancers. But beyond that, cancer is always a genetic disease, meaning it's something that's taking place down on our genes. And if you're not sure what that is, that means if you go down into your cells and you look at a nucleus or you looked at a particular cell, you have the cell surface, you have this cell gobbledygook that's inside the cell that transmits information, and then you have your nucleus of the cell, which is this little dot inside there that really is the place where all of your DNA is stored. And DNA are simply like a zipper. Think of it as a tightly wound zipper with two sides that come together. Each side is a piece of RNA, and when they come together, they bind themselves on these little tiny, what we call base pairs of DNA. And the genetic code are those little teeth on the zipper. So if you think of it like that, we have about 30,000, roughly 20 to 30,000 zippers in our genetic code, which is inside our nucleus. And each one of those zippers, each one of those teeth on the zipper is a specific gene. And when you have one or two of those teeth that are messed up, the zipper stops working. The protein is not formed inside the cell. And then you have a change in how that cell works. And then that cell divides and creates an exact copy of itself. And now you have two problem cells. Then those divide and create exact copies. And you have four problem cells. And we call that division of problem cells cancer. So I know that's a very rudimentary introduction, and it's very hard to explain if you don't have a visual cue like we do here on this podcast. But I can tell you it's really, really amazing. Cancer, by the time you notice a lump, by the time you feel sick, has already taken root. It is well on its way. And by the time you have a lump the size of the head of a pin, which can be detected on a mammogram, which is why ladies and even men in some cases, you need to get screened to make sure that you're identifying those types of things early, which is why breast cancer cures are so successful, because they find it so early and they can surgically excise any kinds of cancer very early on. So think about your screening. It's very important. But what I really want us to get at here is just what is going on such a small, tiny little thing. A tiny little change in your genetic code, protracted over some time, has a huge effect on your life. Tiny things have huge effects on your life. This tiny little thing we call cancer produces the biggest conference on oncology in the world. It has to be in the biggest place. It has a huge multi-billion dollar industry surrounding its cure. It's huge, but it's tiny. Tiny and huge together. You know, what's interesting is that now they know that your cells actually shed from the tumor and go into your bloodstream. And I have some friends in another company, and this was a big topic here at ASCO this year, was what's called circulating tumor cells, as well as cell-free DNA, which means the cell dies, but the DNA of that cell is living on in your bloodstream, which means they can take a blood sample now and detect tumor cells or the former presence of a tumor or acknowledge the presence of a particular tumor based upon the blood. And the ability to see and find and measure something so tiny inside the blood is now pointing to advanced ways we can cure and monitor and measure cancer and its growth and its expansion. It's really, really interesting. So this is something that we need to think about. Cancer is measurable. You know, it's scientific, and I work in the scientific community, and the scientific worldview is extremely focused on the data. What does the data say? You know, how big, how small, the measurements, how can you prove it? There's posters and posters of paper and studies that are present at these events, and people walk around gathering information. Every booth has representatives from the company talking to physicians and clinicians about data. The whole event is data. It's information. It's a collaboration of information from around the world, from every industry, from every thought leader. It's taking everything we have as human beings and combining it, coalescing it, aggregating it for the sake of understanding this disease and curing it. It's a powerful thing. But you know, lots of things are like cancer. Lots of things are really, really small, but have a huge impact. They're tiny, but they're huge. But how do you measure something that's a little harder to measure that functions just like cancer? For instance, what about your thoughts? Have you ever considered how your thoughts actually work? You know, I wrote a book called Getting Better When You Can't, and I, you know, as a PhD in ethics, I've basically mapped out the process that takes us from our thoughts into actions. How does a tiny little thing like a thought, which you can't really measure, you can't weigh it, you can't measure the width of it, the height of it, the depth of it. A thought is in the abstract world, but it's nonetheless extremely real. You see, not all things are just matter and motion. A thought is a real thing that cannot be measured. It's immeasurable. And yet it's tiny. And yet they're huge. They function just like cancer. What about your fears? When you have thoughts that are essentially fears, you start to limit your life, don't you? Right? When you have a thought and it keeps you from exploring something. You know, I've had anxiety in my life, and you know, I'm down here in Chicago, and it was time for us as a group to go up to the top of the Hancock Tower and go to the observation deck. And you know, I could feel the anxiety in myself as I'm walking around the outside of this giant building, looking up, thinking, oh my gosh, this is gonna freak me out. But I got in there and I did it. But they had this thing where you can actually stand in the window and it tilts and leans you out over the side. And there was no way I'm getting in there. Now I know that it's safe, but my anxiety, my fear of heights and just having trouble getting near the window, you know, while I'm up there on the observation deck was a challenge enough. My fears were limiting my exploration. The other team said, no way, we're going to go and we're going to get in this window that tilts out and lays me almost flat looking down. They're far braver than I am. I knew my life was not in risk, but I had a fear that limited my exploration. And many of your fears might be doing the same thing. You have fears and things that limit your experiences, right? You may never want to get up and do public speaking. You may never want to drive through a tunnel or over a bridge or do something like that. And you have a world that is lived and suffering now with anxiety. And that's what? Is that a little thing or is that a big thing? Is it just a little thing to be afraid of something like a dog or a horse or heights or claustrophobia? Or is it a big thing when you're out living it and it's hurting your life? You see, it's like a cancer. It's a tiny little change. It's a base pair genetic change. But it's happening in this non-physical, immeasurable world. And it's affecting your life. You know, what about negativity? You ever see how negativity affects you? I mean, it undermines any trust you might have, not just in yourself, but in others. You know, it ruins hope. When you see things in the negative sense, you basically take a melon ball cutter and scoop out hope from your life. You go around with no hope for long enough, of course all you're going to see is the negative. Think about how that changes your life. Think about how that diminishes and devalues humanity, not just for you, but for others. What about in your thoughts as they regard sexuality? Is that something that you obsess about all the time? Is it something that you wonder about? You know, all this stuff starts harmless. It starts very entertaining. You know, sexual thoughts and ideas are very fun to entertain. But what happens if you take them too far? How long does it take before they go into a really bad direction? You can't just give full vent to every sexual thought that comes to your mind. Can you? Eventually you'll get arrested. Certain thoughts are illegal. Other things are certainly inappropriate. Some things would ruin the lives of children, of you, of others. Right? So it's like, yeah, it seemed fun, and then it's not. It started as a small thing, and then it becomes a big thing. And that's just three areas of our thoughts. Our fears, our negativity, our sexuality. There's so much more we could add in here. But I think you get the picture. We live in a world where tiny things become huge things. Tiny things always grow to become huge things. This is because we live in an expanding universe. Everything that we touch is in expansion. We are in expansion. The cells in your body are changing. One cure for cancer could be that the cells just die and they're replaced with healthy cells. Did you know that every 7 years or so, you are a completely new person? Every single cell in your body has replaced itself within that time. There are certain cells in your body that replace themselves much faster. Every couple of days, you might have a new lining in your stomach. Things like your fingernails and your hair, they grow fast because those cells are reproducing fast. So when you give a cancer drug to target fast-growing cells because you have a fast-growing cancer, those drugs tend to kill off your stomach lining, making you nauseous and terribly sick. They cause your hair and your fingernails and things like that to fall out. It's called a side effect of chemotherapy. In reality, though, your body's changing. It's expanding. It's becoming new. It's striving to become new. And yet you have this tiny little thing in you that's killing you. It's keeping you from ever becoming new because it's ruining your life. But beyond cancer, this happens to everybody. Our thoughts are a cancer at times. Now, so what's the cure? You know, if we're talking about cancer cures, and I'm here at ASCO where everybody is working towards a permanent and lasting cure, what is it? Well, certainly early detection is the message. The sooner you get at that tiny little genetic change, the more likely you can change it. If you have a tiny little tumor that starts to grow and it grew right on the back of your hand, let's just say, and you saw this little lump forming on the back of your hand, you're like, what is that tiny little lump? And you scratched it off and you somehow pulled it off like a wart, and you were able to pull all of those cells off in one full sweep, you could cure your cancer with your just pulling it off. But let's just say it wasn't visible. And it was a melanoma that you didn't detect because it was on the back side of your ear. And it went deeper. It lasted longer. It grew further through the deeper layers of your skin until it had entered your bloodstream. And next thing you know, you have a cancer that is growing in all the organs in your body. Well, that's a different scenario, isn't it? You missed that early detection, and now the cancer is spread. We are so familiar with the story. So what do we do about ourself? Those tiny things that we can't measure, those tiny things that are very real but are immeasurable. What's the cure? You see, in cancer, it's the nibs and the nabs, I like to say. A nib is a drug that ends in a nib, like gefitinib or some other kind of drug. And a nib means that it's an inhibitor. It's a tiny little compound or particle that goes into the cell and it inhibits the cell from functioning like it does. It keeps it from dividing. It keeps it from doing what it's doing as a cancer cell. And when you have the right compound and it hits those cancer cells, the cancer cells simply stop and they die. And in our thoughts and in our other areas of our life, we can simply inhibit those kinds of things. We can just tell ourselves, I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to dwell about that. I'm going to inhibit that. And that's the beginning of a cure. The NABs, on the other hand, are antibodies. When you see a drug and it ends in a NAB, it means antibody, which means it's a compound or a molecule that actually attaches to some portion of the cell, usually the cell membrane, and it attaches to those little receptors, and it basically makes the cell unable to receive anything. So it's an antibody, and it's the same way you can deal with cancer. You can deal with these thoughts. You can put a countermeasure out there that says, I felt afraid to do this. I was afraid to go up into the building, but my countermeasure, my antibody was to get in there and go anyway. I don't let that win. Don't let that thought win. Don't let that fear win. Don't let that negativity win. Don't let that sexual thought take root and go. Don't count. Give it a countermeasure, a counteracting thought that changes it, that alters it. You see, you get the nibs and the nabs and the cancer, and all of a sudden, you know, you get these tiny little particles. Tiny. They're smaller than the cancer. But they go in there and they interrupt the cancer's ability to function. And what is it then that fits into that tiniest little space within you and I, into that tiny little huge immeasurable thing of our thoughts? The only thing that fits in there is not a molecule, it's a spirit, it's a voice. And you and I hear it every day. You and I hear it every single day. What is it saying? What is it saying? You know, it's saying, don't ignore me. It's saying, don't minimize me. I'm here to help you. I am you, saving you, helping you, drawing you out. It's the voice. It's a benevolent voice. And you think it's you, but it's not. It's the voice of God reaching to you, calling to you, trying to help you. It's like the tiniest little molecule or a compound that could ever possibly exist. And what is it saying? Is it saying to stop eating and stop drinking in a particular way because you know you are ruining your body? Is it saying, get up, get off the couch, do something? Is it saying, start that business? Is it saying, go out and exercise? Is it saying, I know I need to do this thing, so do it. Don't wait. These are the antibodies, the tiny little molecules, the voice of the spirit that cures the cancer of your life. Is it telling you to pick up the phone and call that person and tell them you're sorry? Is it time to end the stalemate, to get forgiveness and to forgive, to stop carrying the baggage around, let it go? What is the voice telling you today? Do it. Don't live with cancer. It's crazy. Carve it out. Pluck it out. Give it a countermeasure. Stop letting it take over your life. Is it time to reconnect to somebody? Or to connect to anybody? Are you living in a tunnel or a hole? Pull your head out. Is that the voice saying? The cancers are all over. I look at people everywhere and they're miserable at times. You get to their quiet place and they're sad and broken and dejected. And they don't want to go on anymore. And the reason that they hit these places of suffering is simply because their concept of God is no longer big enough to fit their reality and their existence. but yours can. You don't have to fit your existence into a tiny concept of God. Your concept of God can widen and grow. You can grow your spirit. We all have this tiny little voice, you know, and we all have this need, you know, for some kind of an intervention. If we don't heed that voice, the cancer process takes its way. If we don't interrupt misfunctioning cancer cells, they usually grow into big problems that end up taking over a person's life. Your life does not have to be like that, not with cancer, and not with any of the other types of things like cancer. My hope for you today is that you free yourself. You create a countermeasure. You seek the help that you need. Call me, contact me, reach out to me. Buy my book. It is a great place to start to figure out how do I actually retool my thinking so that I can go and live the full, productive, enjoyable, satisfying life that I know is possible. I'm here to help you and to serve you. And I hope that you'll consider these thoughts today and you'll make tomorrow a very great day. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll be with you on the very next KevCast. Have a great day. Thanks so much for tuning in to the KevCast. It really means a lot that you give your time and energy to this. It's my goal that this content is challenging sometimes, but mostly helpful, inspiring, and encouraging to you. It's my goal that in the end, you become a much better person. And guess what? I'll become a better person if I hear from you. I welcome your feedback, good or bad. I'd love to start a dialogue with you. If I can answer any questions, please reach out to me at my website, www.kevinwinder.com. Now, remember, I'm a member of the Experts Academy, and I help people who want to understand spirituality to make sense of their religious experience so that they can clearly see God in the world. Until next time, have a great day.